This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello and welcome to the Liverpool.com podcast on the Blood Red channel. The Blood Red podcast is sponsored by NordVPN. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/bloodred. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the podcast episode description box. And now to business. I'm James Martin, joined by Matt Addison, and we are discussing the goings-on in the Liverpool hunt for a new manager. Of course, Jurgen Klopp leaving at the end of the season, still plenty to play for before then, with the win against Fulham keeping hopes alive, but attention nonetheless turning to where Liverpool goes next. With some interesting news coming out in the last sort of 24 hours or so, isn't there, Matt?
Yeah, as I was saying, I'm sure a lot of people will be aware of the developments, the story that's come out in the last couple of days around Ruben Amorim. We've seen him flying to England to speak with West Ham, and quite where that's up to, we're not too sure. But it throws up an interesting conversation, I think, which hopefully we're about to have, around who, if it's not him, and it's not 100% sure that it won't be him, but as this process continues, who might it be if it isn't? Who else is there? And I think the conclusion that most people have come to is that there's not loads of other options. I think there's lots of names being thrown about. I've seen suggestions of even Jose Mourinho, which I think probably tells its own story in terms of how many options there are out there. I think we can probably rule that one out. But yeah, there's not loads of choices, really. There's obviously, you know, in previous podcasts that we've spoken about, you know, Xabi Alonso and various other people, but for a variety of different reasons, those are no longer on the table. That's not, as I say, 100% the case with Ruben Amorim at the moment, but it is an interesting development as Liverpool continue to assess their options and see what is out there and what's available to them.
Yeah, so to sort of give an update on where we are with the reports from various outlets, Liverpool started to look a bit less likely, sort of when The Athletic reported that Amorim was off to London for talks with West Ham, and David Ornstein said that Amorim was unlikely to be Liverpool's preferred candidate. So, you know, some people were putting two and two together. You know, had West Ham just gone sooner, or had Liverpool really not chosen him? But then fast forward to now, and we've had reports from, I think, Record in Portugal saying that Amorim might not go to Liverpool or West Ham. It sounds like his talks with West Ham potentially didn't go according to plan, or at least that's their information. So it does sound as though it's a genuine case of, you know, Liverpool has not settled on Amorim. In fact, it's not really settled on anyone yet. It's still trying to decide who it goes for. But it looks like if he doesn't come to Liverpool, it's not because he's chosen someone else. It's because Liverpool has chosen someone else, which I think was always likely to be the case. But that does beg the question, as you mentioned, who else will Liverpool choose? You say Mourinho there. I think there was a sort of a cheeky nod to that in the Inside Match Day video that Liverpool does. You saw Jose Mourinho there. I think possibly if Liverpool actually had any intention of going into talk with Mourinho, appointing him as the new manager, would have been kept a little more under wraps than actually showing him at Craven Cottage. So potentially that's one we can rule out for you. But other names, it's more of a mystery, really, because, you know, there was Alonso as the big favourite, then there was Amorim as the big favourite, and you sort of wonder where we go next. And one answer does seem to be Arne Slot, doesn't it? The Feyenoord manager. It would come a bit out of left field, but, I mean, what do you know about him and what do you make of him?
Well, he's definitely an interesting manager. I think he wouldn't have been in the top two or three for me at the start. I think he's one that you'd expect Liverpool to look at because he's obviously done a very good job there. I think he rejected Tottenham last summer before they got Postecoglou. He's been at Feyenoord for a little while now and has consistently managed to get them playing an attractive brand of football, a winning brand of football. Obviously, it would be a big step up to go from the Dutch league to the very top end of the Premier League. But then that's probably the case for all of these managers. You could say that, I think, with Portugal and Amorim, it would have been a big step up. Even for Xabi Alonso to move to Liverpool, that would be, you know, a completely different set of expectations and ambitions that Liverpool have. So there's a bit of a question mark in terms of him, and I think there's certainly a feeling that he does come a little bit out of left field, but it doesn't massively surprise me that Liverpool have looked at him. I'm not going to suggest that I have any idea in terms of what the data would look like in terms of his teams and how well they've done there, but from the success that he has had with Feyenoord, it doesn't come as a massive shock to me that he might be somebody who, the data team may have identified as being someone worth looking at. Whether he's the number one pick, whether he would be above Ruben Amorim or somebody else, I'm not too sure, but it doesn't massively shock me when you sort of think about what he has done in the Netherlands. It doesn't massively shock me that Liverpool have taken a look at him at the very least. Whether that is the conclusion that they come to, though, I think we just have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, likely to be second in the Eredivisie this season behind a very strong PSV side, but he did bring home the title previously, so certainly as impressed with a team that doesn't necessarily always achieve right at the top of Dutch football. Of course, historically a massive side, but in more recent years, maybe you've seen more success from the likes of Ajax and, of course, PSV. I saw one commentator describe Feyenoord as almost like the Dutch Liverpool, or maybe he said it the other way around, but suggesting that it would be a good fit in that sense. And like you say, if that's borne out by the data, then that's something which Edwards will have picked up on, which Richard Hughes coming in as the new sporting director will have picked up on. We've heard from the start that it's going to be a data-led operation, and we've heard as well that it's not necessarily going to be looking to pick the popular choice. It might be someone who maybe fans can't get too excited about straight away, but who the numbers sort of clearly point to as the best choice for Liverpool. And you just have to sort of trust the process, really. I mean, I saw someone make the point that when Michael Edwards returned to FSG, there was, excitement among the fan base. People were saying that it was an ambitious appointment. And so that there sort of comes a point where you have to trust him to do his job. And his first job was always going to be getting this appointment spot on. So, yeah, I'm sort of at the point where whoever it is, I'm inclined to give them the benefit of the doubt. Obviously, there was disappointment when we missed Alonso. But for me, once it wasn't Alonso, we were into a kind of not much of a muchness situation. I'm sure, certain managers would do better than others. But in terms of fan expectations, in terms of that kind of emotional pull, no one else really had it after Alonso. So I suppose in a sense that's freeing for the next manager because, of course, they're still following Klopp. But it's not that they are sort of being imbibed with the hopes of being the next Klopp. There's going to be a bit more realism. And I think that probably sets whoever it is up for success. But I mean, we might come back to Slot in a bit, but as there's so many names floating about now, we'll sort of detour elsewhere for a little bit. One who would be, I suppose, in some ways an obvious pick in terms of what we've heard about the data, about who's going to be good for the current squad, is Thomas Frank. He's certainly one who, again, would not necessarily infuse a great deal of fans with Brentford, maybe being solid without being spectacular. But in terms of how the teams play, stylistically, could you see that being a decent fit?
I can see it to a certain degree. I think there's definitely boxes that he would tick. He's obviously got Premier League experience. In terms of the style of play, I don't think it's necessarily similar, but I suppose what you would say is that he's got a lot out of a little, if you like, without being too disrespectful to Brentford. I think the biggest thing that he's done is get them to overachieve. He's obviously worked within a club which uses a lot of data and analytics, and that side of things is clearly something that is very important to Liverpool and to Michael Edwards. So I can see it to a certain extent in that. The big thing for me, really, which I don't think, unless I'm mistaken, I don't really think that you can measure it in terms of any kind of metric, is that the intangible sort of thing of dealing with the expectation of being at Liverpool, being able to deal with the media side of things. I think we've spoken about David Moyes in the past on this podcast when he went to Manchester United, and he was a little bit taken aback and surprised by just how big a club it was, and the pre-season tours and the media expectations, the talk, just is on a completely different level with these clubs compared to Brentford or a team like that, for example. I think for me, the question mark, we obviously started the podcast with Arne Slot as well. I think, data-wise, they may look like managers who get a good amount out of the group. They might be managers that the data suggests that they might be well suited to the squad of players that Liverpool have got or the direction that Liverpool want to move in. But it's about more than that for me. And I just don't know whether I can imagine Thomas Frank being a Liverpool manager just yet. I think maybe if Thomas Frank was to move from, say, Brentford to West Ham this summer, and then he does 2 or 3 years at West Ham, wins a European trophy like David Moyes has, but does it in a style of play which is a bit better, he works with better players, I think maybe then you can see the jump. But to go from Brentford to Liverpool, I just don't really see that. But that's not to do with the data or the way this team plays. That's more just to do with the personality that he is, the level of manager that he is. I think he'd be a little bit more divisive in terms of Liverpool fans. I'm sure there'd be Liverpool fans that got on board with him. And I'm sure, you know, if the results went well, then that would be a good thing. But I think there'd probably be just too many people who were a little bit reluctant to take him on board.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, and I'm sure I know we've said about how there'll be the focus on the data, but it's notoriously hard to assess manager data because, of course, they're dealing with 11 players and the quality of those players varies hugely. So you're just trying to measure almost intangibles in terms of overperformance relative to the squad and things like that. And it's not as if Edwards is naive to the realities of football. He's been in the industry for a very long time. So much as the data is going to play a part, we know that things like you mentioned there, those kind of intangibles, Liverpool aren't going to be blind to them. They're not going to hire someone who they don't think can handle all aspects of the job. And I suppose in that respect, something which has surprised me a little bit, I'll see what you make of it in a second, but that Thomas Tuchel's name hasn't really been mentioned. I mean, he's sort of come up tangentially in sort of a fan discussion format, but I've not really seen any solid report suggesting he's one of the ones Liverpool are scoping out. Of course, he's available in the summer, which is an instant sort of, it's not a tick in a box as such, but it's a plus point. Liverpool could get him easily without paying a fee. And of course, he has those qualities which maybe some of the other candidates we're discussing don't have. He's been there at big clubs. He knows what the Premier League entails. And, you know, because of the realities of the industry, whoever Liverpool hires is going to have failed somewhere. I think that's a reality fans need to accept. I suppose the only exception might have been Alonso because he's so early at the start of his coaching journey. But even then, you could go to Real Sociedad B, where he did incredibly to get them into the second division, but then couldn't keep them up very narrowly. He still did well, but he does have a relegation to his name. So whoever hires will have gone wrong somewhere. And you look at Tuchel's record in terms of bringing success to the clubs he's been at. Obviously, it's often ended on a bit of a sour note. But in terms of the coaching journey he's had so far and the fact that he's on the market this summer, do you think it's a little surprising we've not heard a bit more about him?
Yeah, I mean, he'd certainly be higher up my list than quite a lot of the names that have been mentioned more regularly. I think certainly amongst the betting odds, there's been, you know, a few sort of surprising names who are relatively short odds, I think, in terms of becoming the new Liverpool manager. But I think with him, with Tuchel in particular, I think it probably will count against him what has happened at Bayern this season. I know obviously what Alonso has done is particularly exceptional, but I don't think it's a great look for the manager of Bayern to be, you know, so far off it. When you sign Harry Kane, you've got, you know, a number of players in there that he has wanted to bring in and has successfully done so. I don't think that probably reflects well. I think he's a bit more of a short-term option as well. I think what Liverpool will want is, you know, not necessarily someone who can be in the job as long as Jurgen Klopp, because that is you know, very, very rare that happens. But, you know, Thomas Tuchel, like you say, 2 or 3 years down the line, there's usually some sort of falling out, or there's some transfer that he disagrees with, or there's some sort of issue that pops up that happens fairly regularly. And I don't know whether he would be the perfect fit really for Liverpool. I know, you know, he ticks some boxes. He in some ways probably ticks some of the boxes that Thomas Frank doesn't. But I think for the other reasons, maybe you'd rule him out on that basis. So it's not the worst shout in the world, I don't think, for someone like Tuchel to be under consideration. But I'm not massively surprised that he's not one of the leading contenders. I equally think that he probably could be a lot better than one or two others that we might discuss. I think if it was, for example, between Thomas Frank and Thomas Tuchel, I'd probably go with Tuchel on the basis of his experience, but I don't think either of them are ideal. And I would certainly have Ruben Amorim. I would have had Xabi Alonso, maybe one or two others, you know, comfortably ahead of him, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. As you sort of go down the list and cross people off, that's maybe where the surprise comes in, that Tuchel hasn't featured more prominently. As you say, with Alonso definitely out and Amorim potentially going in the same direction, although we certainly can't rule that one out just yet. But let's return to slot briefly as well. We were talking about the kind of the difficulty in assessing managers. Do you think that the overperformance is kind of, if we had to sort of distill into one word what Liverpool are looking for, that overperformance is what the search will rest on, that kind of how well has he done relative to expectations rather than how well has a manager done full stop? And would you then look at Slot and see how he's competed with PSV, certainly with Ajax, who have fallen off a cliff this season, and gone, okay, maybe that's one of the reasons why he's sort of rising up the thinking of the club?
Yeah, I think that is definitely fair. And I think that has to be balanced with an experience of, if not sort of going far in the Champions League, then certainly, you know, someone like Slot has clearly been able to sustain a period of success and consistency at the top end of a league. And I think that's important. I think, you know, someone like Thomas Frank, for example, has undoubtedly overachieved. He's, you know, taken a group of players a lot further than what most managers would have done. And I think he probably will if he stays at Brentford next season. They get a couple of players in the summer. I don't think they'll be as close to relegation. We know, obviously, Ivan Toney, and they've had lots of injuries, and there's lots of mitigation, really, for them having until the last weekend, really, when they comfortably get the win that looks like it'll keep them away from the relegation zone. There was still a little bit of a threat hanging over them. I think, for me, it's got to be a balance between the two. Overperformance, yeah, that's what the data can tell you. But I think it would be a bit of a risk to just go for someone who has overperformed, but in a different part of the league table. I think for Liverpool, this is a job now where it's not even the same job that Jurgen Klopp took over. It's not a case of you've got a group of underperforming players that we think should be slightly better and maybe could get into the top four. This is a team now that's looking to take that next step. Obviously, this season, we don't know the outcome yet. It's still possible that they could win the Premier League title. If they don't win it, they're going to, at least I would think, be within one or two points of winning it. So it's a job where I think you've got to get somebody who is experienced enough to come in and take on something like that immediately. And I think that's where Ruben Amorim or Slot or Xabi Alonso, obviously he's not on the table anymore, but you know, those three in particular, you would look at and think, well, they kind of tick both boxes. They're clearly overachieving. They're clearly playing football that would appeal to Liverpool, but they're also experienced at being in a title running. You know, there's been lots of talk really in the last few weeks as Liverpool have faltered once or twice of, well, you know, this is the first title challenge for Dominic Szoboszlai, Alexis McAllister, certainly in a league format. Obviously has won the World Cup, but he hasn't, you know, competed at the top end of the Premier League. You know, one or two other players as well. This is their first attempt. Arsenal have had previous experience. Clearly Manchester City have had that experience. I think it's one thing for Liverpool to have a few players who've not been in that situation, but if you've got a manager who's a little bit inexperienced in that as well, I think that can be a little bit of a problem. So for me, those are the two big things. One is that they've had that experience before, which obviously Thomas Tuchel has and one or two others have, but then also overperformance in terms of the players, which Thomas Frank has. I think if you could combine those two things together, I think that's probably the ideal candidate, really, which is why I don't think either of those two should be at the top of the list. But then, you know, maybe that is the argument for someone like Slot. He's kind of, you know, certainly data-wise suggested that he can do both of those things. I think then the question mark would just be, you know, I can't say I know a great deal about his personality or his background or, you know, how big of a character almost he is. Again, that's not something that the data can tell you, but I think that is a big part of it as well. It's going to take somebody who has got very broad shoulders to take the weight of what Liverpool Football Club is. I think you can tell really with Jurgen Klopp, the fact that he's so tired and ready for a break now. It's clearly taken its toll. Liverpool are going to have to find someone that can do that, which I know I keep saying it, but the data doesn't really tell you something like that.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, and I mean, you go back to when Liverpool first hired Klopp as well. I mean, you touched on it in terms of the state the club was in. It didn't necessarily have that much of a pulling factor compared to what it has now. It was sort of meandering. It wasn't quite a mid-table club just yet, but it was heading in the wrong direction. And yet at that stage, the club attracts Klopp, who, of course, two-time Bundesliga winner by that point, had been in a Champions League final. So he certainly ticked that box you were sort of alluding to there in terms of, you know, competing at the very top end of the game and getting that experience. I mean, even then at Liverpool, they sort of carried that reputation with him for a while in terms of losing finals, didn't they? But he had that track record and everyone he sort of learned from, and he wasn't learning completely on the job at Liverpool. He had a wealth of experience to draw on. So I suppose the concern now is it would feel a bit underwhelming for Liverpool to sort of be rolling the dice on just pure promise at this point when the club has come so far since Klopp first joined. And obviously, it's not possible to get someone as good as Klopp. But, you know, the fact that the club could attract him then, you sort of look at it now. And like you say, you do want to marry together those factors of someone who's been there and done it, but someone who also is exciting, is overperforming. There's so many things to think about. And I suppose falling foul of your doing it at the top level criteria, but maybe to a slightly lesser extent, is someone like Roberto De Zerbi, because of course he's not been competing for titles, but he has at least been in the Premier League. He's now had a season in Europe. Should you look at him and think maybe he's someone who could sort of be that middle ground?
Yeah, I think so. I think he would be relatively high up on my list. I think he probably would have been in the second category, really, rather than the absolute nailed on you'd think would be perfect. I think there's a little bit of a question mark in terms of the fit, but I think a lot of people have been keen to talk him down, really, just basically on the basis of he's already in the Premier League and he isn't this kind of exotic new manager. I think if he was doing the job that he was doing but was still in Italy, or maybe was doing it in Spain or France or somewhere else, I think maybe a few people might be a little bit more interested in him. I think he's, you know, an excellent coach, an excellent manager, tactician. I think obviously has had the experience of the Premier League, which is a big tick. He's probably closer to having the experience that Liverpool need in terms of the consistency and the competitiveness. Obviously, you know, Brighton have lost a lot of players. There's not going to be the same level of turnover. But I think, you know, relatively speaking, when you think of the players that they lost last summer, their league position hasn't drastically altered this season. They've not dropped too far down the Premier League. When you think of the players that they lost, the injuries that they've had, the fact that they've had to cope with European football, I think that is, you know, a big tick in his box for me. I think he always has impressed. His teams have always impressed when I've seen them at Anfield, the way that they set up. I think that would certainly be an interesting one and an exciting prospect, really, for me. I think there are one or two questions with him, but I don't think there's anywhere near as many as there would be with, you know, Thomas Frank, Tuchel, even someone like Slot, really. It would be a very data move to go away from De Zerbi towards Slot. I think for most people, just looking at it from the outside without, you know, the extensive data that Liverpool have, I think you would probably look at it and think, well, you know, the Premier League experience would weigh heavily. The sort of body of evidence that we've seen from in England is maybe weighted more heavily than what somebody has done at Feyenoord. It's, you know, a much more competitive league. He's, you know, done pretty well to a certain extent in Europe when you consider the squad that they've got at Brighton. I think he would certainly be up there for me, but I know there has been a little bit of talk a few weeks ago that, you know, it was played down that Liverpool might be interested in him. I thought it was interesting that Jamie Carragher mentioned yesterday about the fact that Richard Hughes tried to take De Zerbi to Bournemouth unsuccessfully, but clearly there's a level of interest there. I think that is something that potentially could play into it. But then I wrote a piece that went up this morning around, well, Richard Hughes didn't get De Zerbi, but he did get Antonio Raiola, which I think would be, you know, an interesting appointment. Definitely a wild card. And again, there's no kind of perfect solution there, because it would be, I think, a bit of a gamble in terms of the experience at the highest level. He's, again, not somebody who has shown to be consistently at the top of a league, which is what Liverpool will need. But I think there's a few wildcard options. The problem, as we keep sort of circling around, is that none of them are 100% perfect at this moment in time.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
I think my concern with De Zerbi is not so much that Brighton have kind of dropped off a bit this season. I think it would have been shocking if they had been able to keep it up, in the sense that they lost Alexis McAllister, they lost Moises Caicedo, and they were overperforming anyway. So I think some kind of regression was likely, but it's just the manner in which the success they've had has come about, in terms of it's very reliant on kind of press baiting. The ball struggles have been in recent years, and you just think, well, is anyone actually going to come to Anfield and press them? And you think, well, we've seen Klopp have this problem. You wonder if it's going to mean deep blocks become this kind of kryptonite all over again. We've maybe seen it to a certain extent with Brighton this season. Those teams just started maybe taking them a bit more seriously. So he'd have to have answers to that. But like you say, nobody is really perfect at this point in time, which brings me on to my last question. I know I have a fairly strong view on this, but I've heard the theory put, at least, given the kind of pool of managers. Do Liverpool kind of appoint someone with Xabi Alonso still in the back of their minds, in terms of, you know, his staying at Leverkusen for now? Maybe he could be back on the market, or can Liverpool not afford to sort of make such a kind of bridging appointment with a view to Alonso in future?
I don't think that they would go deliberately down that route. It might be that that happens, and that next season doesn't go in the way that they thought it would. Xabi Alonso is available and they see an opportunity to be ruthless and do that. That's possible. I don't think it's something that they would aim for. I don't think it would be the case that they would go for a short-term appointment. I know, obviously, we mentioned Mourinho at the start. I've seen one or two people say, oh, well, maybe just get him for a season and then go for Alonso. I just don't think that's a Liverpool way of doing things. I don't think you go through an extensive data-led search for weeks on end. And bear in mind as well that Liverpool have known about Jurgen Klopp moving on for a lot longer than everybody else has. So I think they will try and get as perfect a fit as possible. If it doesn't work, then obviously they're going to have to reassess that at some point in the future. But I know it's been said all along, really, that you don't want to be the first person after Jurgen Klopp. You want to be the second person. And I think maybe that has played to some extent maybe into the decision that Xabi Alonso has made. But I don't necessarily see it like that. I think this group of Liverpool players is ready to take the next step. Obviously, that's not to play down what Jurgen Klopp has done or anything like that. I think, if anything, it says a great deal of positive things about him that he leaves the squad in such a good state and it's ready to take that next step. But I don't think, when you look at the players that Liverpool have got, the age, the profile and all the rest of it, I don't think there's as much chance of it going wrong at Liverpool as it maybe would possibly in other circumstances, Manchester United being the obvious one when they lost Ferguson. Things have never really been the same. I don't think it's necessarily going to be the case. If Liverpool can get this right and get a manager who maybe is a slight risk but is as good a fit as possible, I don't think it has to end in tears. I don't think that for a second. I think they could get somebody. Amorim would still, at this moment in time, be the one that makes the most sense and ticks the most boxes for me. But, you know, whoever it is, I don't think that this is a job that you'd look at and think is an impossible job. I think the players that they've got, they should be ready to take that next step. So, in answer to your question, could a short-term option work for Liverpool? Yeah, maybe, but I don't think that would be a deliberate strategy.
Yeah, I very much agree. I'd be hugely reluctant to go down that road for a number of reasons. I think one of them, what we've seen mentioned in the comments there as well, that you'd have to be pretty sure that Alonso wanted to come a year from now to even think about embarking on that road, because if you go for a temporary appointment for a year and then suddenly Real Madrid come in and Xabi Alonso's off, then you've wasted a year and you've left yourself looking very silly at the hands of Real Madrid, not for the first time. So that is certainly something Liverpool will want to avoid. But as you say, I think that would also be quite a negative move. You want to look at this next appointment and think this could be not necessarily the next Klopp in terms of replicating exactly what he's done, but the next Klopp in terms of taking this team somewhere else, putting a stamp on it over a prolonged period of time. And I think that's what's got to be the aim. And who the right man for the job is, time will tell, I suppose. As you say, Amorim still in the conversation. It hasn't been completely ruled out, but we will keep you updated with any more we hear. I think that'll just about do us for now. It's been fun talking through all the options with you, Matt. Thank you. And thanks for everyone who's watched along with us. Be sure to check out our content over on Liverpool.com. Lots of new manager stuff. Lots of other updates. Diogo Jota injury. Klopp is confirmed in the latest press conference, so you can read about that as well. And we'll have you covered for the huge game against Everton and for the rest of the season. So thanks very much for watching, and we will see you all very soon.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.